As you've probably heard over the last few episodes, I have been working on a label branding seminar for the Craft Brewers Conference. Not only developing a seminar, but also participating in a special artist series for the CBC 2020 Commemorative Beer Labels. For this episode of Branding Brews, I will be sharing with you the audio recording of the Brand Forward seminar at CBC this year. There were some visual aids that went along with the seminar, but I think most of the ideas come through pretty well over audio. During the beginning of the seminar, we view a video showing the 2020 label designs and the process work from each artist. If you would like to check out that video, head over to brandingbrews.com, go to the page for this episode, and I will have that video in the show notes. Also, a special thanks to the Brewers Association for being so awesome and helpful for this seminar and providing the audio recording. It was really great connecting with friends of the show in Denver. Shout out to Mike Canick, Chris Gartman, John and Julian from Craft Peak, and everyone else who stopped by to say hello. I'm truly honored to have made such great friends and community through this podcast. And speaking of friends and community, this podcast would not have made it this long without you. This episode is also special because it marks the 2-year anniversary of this show. We're close to 50,000 total downloads, which kind of blows my mind. I don't ask this often, but I would really appreciate if you can share this show with friends or colleagues. Also, if you'd be willing to take a minute to rate and review this show, that would also be super helpful. So, thanks for hanging around with me and listening to this show. It definitely means a lot. Let's jump into the Brand Forward seminar. Cheers.
Hello. Hello. Welcome. So we're a little over halfway through the conference, and you guys look good. Matt, no, you need some sleep, bro. You don't look that good. Come on. So let's get going here. Welcome to Brand Forward, Maximize Your Beer's Potential Through Design. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Luke Troutwine. I'm the creative director at the Brewers Association, and I had the pleasure of putting this seminar together with my main man, Ryan Wheaton from Craft Brew Creative. This is what we're gonna learn today. First, we're gonna learn why design matters. Then we're gonna have a little design exercise. Three amazing designers all designed next year's 2020 commemorative beer label. Fun fact, you can get your hotel room now for CBC in San Antonio, April 19th through 22nd. April 19th to 22nd. We'd love to see you there. All right, so these three designers are going to teach you how to make your next label melt people's minds. It's going to be awesome. So the third thing we're going to do is branding in the bottom line. We're going to see real examples in the field. Because let's be honest, solid branding should translate into solid sales. So let's dive deep and find out more with a few case studies. The fourth thing we're going to do, we're going to have a brand expert roundtable plus a Q&A afterwards. This discussion includes agency, in-house, retail, and freelance perspectives on tactics, best practices, and strategies for package designs that really move beer. After that, we'll have the Q&A. And finally, my favorite part, we're going to have a party. We're all going to hang out here, have a beer or two, get to know each other, and just talk marketing, design, and anything else we want to talk about. So without further ado, Ryan Wheaton.
All right, what's up, everybody? How are you doing? So it's so amazing to have the opportunity to be here, and I get to speak to all my people about beer and branding, both of which I eat, breathe, and sleep. My wife probably knows more about beer and branding than she cares to, but she's here now, and I'm super thankful for her support and for listening to me talk about work pretty much like every day. It's hard out these days. You know, we're going to talk about like naming beers, designing label, creative artwork, and then you got to figure out your core labels, figuring out your seasonal releases and your specialty releases. It's challenging stuff. Well, I think today's discussion is really going to provide some great ideas and some beneficial insights into your beer and package branding. How many of you here are in the creative field or work in marketing or branding? Wow. Awesome. Okay. Well, make sure you stick around to carry on this conversation, There's going to be a happy hour that's going to be happening right after this, just as Luke mentioned. If you are in creative marketing or branding, we have blue name badges that are over here on the table with the beer magazines. You don't have to write your name on them, but if you slap one of those on, then people will be able to recognize you're in the creative field. Myself and the panel, we're also going to be sticking around. We'd love to chat with you as well. So yeah, basically, during the happy hour, just keep an eye out for anyone wearing a blue name badge. We hope everyone is able to meet somebody new, you know, and discuss any ideas or questions you may have around beer branding. I do want to give out a special thanks to the man who was a really big help at putting this whole thing together and bringing this whole concept to life. So a big shout out to Luke. If you follow Luke on Instagram, you might know him as Luke. Yeah. Did I get the right amount of U's in there? Right on. Anyway, so I like to start off by painting a picture and kind of showing the landscape of beer packaging and branding and show this importance of like good design. Pretty much to kind of like frame the ideas and the conversations that we're going to have during this seminar. I will start off by giving us probably like the shortest and probably the most incomplete history of art design that you can get. So before the alphabet, we used drawings to communicate. Simple shapes and recognizable objects can have different meanings and can tell us a story. Cave paintings became letter forms that could transcribe stories and deliver messages in like a much more literal way, but still recognizable shapes and patterns. Does anybody remember those Geico commercials that was like so easy a caveman can do it? Well, creating logos is not that easy, but creating logos using shapes and letters taps into our primal brains, and we can easily recognize and remember a brand that was designed well. So we aren't etching brands into stone, but they are getting etched into our mind. So let's say you need to go to a store. You need to buy a broom, some light bulbs, and maybe some new underwear. By a show of hands, can anyone tell me what store that might be just from this slide? Oh, you're ruining it for me. No, that's all good. Okay, so Target. So the idea here, right, is that even just from that color, you can recognize it. Even from this, you can recognize it. And we're just going to get closer and closer, right? So, you know, Target has a very recognizable brand. It's a brand, like, if it's on a highway sign or on the side of a building, like, you could probably literally recognize it from, like, a mile away. Beer or craft beer is somewhat new to the retail game. When it comes to marketing and branding, I think it's easy for us to get, like, stuck in our own little beer bubble. I think it's sometimes looking out how other products and other brands handle the retail environment can be very useful. So, surprisingly, these are not hazy IPA labels. I don't want to see these later on from anybody here, please. But they are dryer sheets. Products like these can often become very loud and noisy on the shelf and like try to demand your attention. I think it's pretty clear that the Target Up and Up brand package stands out pretty well against these others. So it's the middle one on the top. I think this is kind of similar to how crazy artwork labels can be these days. So kind of going back to that core branding of really clear and understandable, I think works. So I think Target has done a great job at creating their own brand of retail products. Their packaging is all pretty consistent. It uses a strong visual system, and it has an easily identifiable mark, which is the Up and Up logo. These packages are really clear and clean, and often stand out well against other products that are more vibrant and more noisy. They definitely have a recognizable brand. So we're not making dryer sheets, and we're not going to become the next Target. So let's get into some beer packaging. That's probably why we're here. So I want to kind of run through some stats here to kind of show the importance and value of design and branding. These come from a Nielsen's craft beer design audit study that is easily found if you just Google search Nielsen design craft design audit. But I'm going to run through some of the stats here right now for you. So 70% of beer purchase decisions are made at the shelf. 60% say that the package or label is very or extremely important in convincing them to try and buy a new package. 71% of craft beer buyers say they like to try brands that are bold and interesting, that have bold and interesting packaging. Women are slightly more swayed by design than men, 75% versus 66%, when it comes to the craft beer category. So Nielsen asked the question to consumers, when you're at the store choosing a craft beer, which physical attributes of the packaging tend to make the strongest impression on you? The consumers replied with, 48% say that it's the design of the carrier or the box that's important. 43% say that it was the information about where it was produced. 39% said it was the logo or the brand name. And lastly, 36% say it was the color scheme on the label. So I hope that kind of helped frame the conversation and showing the value, you know, quickly showing the value of branding and design when it comes to packaging. We're going to get into a lot more of that. Now that we've framed that and kind of did a little introduction on that section, I want to bring Luke back up to discuss the CBC 2020 label design project that we're going to get into a little bit.
I need to make a confession. And I think today, right now, is a place to do it. I committed the cardinal sin. No designer, no art director, no creative director should ever do. Nobody in here should ever do. I've asked three designers to design a label for me for free.
Wait, what?
I know. I'm a horrible person. But here's why I did it. We asked three very, very good designers to all work off the same creative brief and design the 2020 San Antonio commemorative beer label. Those dates again, April 19th through 22nd in San Antonio. Why have three designers design the same beer label? It's a great exercise to see how a designer's mind and skill set can affect your brand. Each designer had the same amount of information, and they interpreted it in three totally different yet effective ways. By the way, I'm going to show you a video here real quick. We're going to use, working with the Texas Craft Brewers Guild, we're going to use all three labels for next year's beer. So make another reason to go on April 19th to 22nd. So instead of having them come up, I threw together a quick video interviewing Kevin Kronberger, Alana Louise Lyons, and Ryan. And here's what we're going to learn in the video. We're going to learn tips for working with a designer and agency, how you can best stand out in a crowded marketplace, how different styles of design give a totally different vibe to the liquid inside, and finally, we're going to see some damn good design and just be entertained. I'm going to hit the next button.
Hey, everyone. This is Kevin Kronberger, graphic designer. Worked for Kronberger Studio, very original company name. And I live in Fort Collins, Colorado. It is such a blast to get to work with just in the craft industry. Any advice that I could give to, you know, just a company or an individual that's seeking out my services or another individual artist's services, coming prepared. I think you need to know who you are, who you want to be. The concept of this is that it's a commemorative can. So there's something about this that has to feel special. Maybe they'd even say this and put this up on their shelf. I hope they drink it first, but then they say that it's got to be a little more high-end. And so I kind of went heavy in on the details. The name, I wanted to make sure that that was really, really prominent. The first thing that you see, and then the illustration, and then all of the other add-ons are just kind of the little nuggets. Kind of, I injected some of that Spanish art, that vibe. I tried to get that, you know, some of these flourishes, you know, some flowers, some of these, you know, that those crest elements in this. And so I just wanted it to feel like San Antonio.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alana Louise Lyons, and I'm from Austin, Texas. An interesting fact, I guess, about me is that I really love to fly fish. My husband is a brewer. He brews for Austin Beer Works. He's the reason why I'm pretty familiar with craft beer. One way that people often overlook is special finishing on their label. I've had clients who are really worried about, you know, like, the front of the can must look awesome, but then the rest of the label is neglected. So every beer label has to tell a story, whether it's about the brewery, the beer style, ingredients used. In this case, we didn't have any of that. So this design is based off of the name Trio Grande. Obviously, three designers are working on this, which Trio comes from. And the second fact is the Rio Grande, which creates the Texas-Mexico border. So I use the Rio Grande as the setting for this story. A significant landmark on the Rio Grande is the Santa Elena Canyon. And I included a picture of me sitting on the Texas side, facing the Mexico side. And it's pretty wild to see just how close we are to our neighbors. So on the backdrop here in my label is the Santa Elena. And then I have three figures on the foreground who are inspired by women who fought to save the Alamo. So on the either side, I have the two women who established the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. These aren't direct representations, but they're just inspired by these women. And at the center, I have a figure who's inspired by Adina De Zavala. So Adina and the Daughters of the Republic of Texas are the reason why the Alamo stands today. Along with the text on the right side of the label, there's a small symbol with the shape of the top of the Alamo with a star. A few months ago, I went to the Alamo, and like on the grounds of the Alamo, there was a single tile on the floor that I saw with this mark, and I was like, oh my God, why isn't this everywhere? This is an amazing symbol. And I've been saving this symbol to use for something Alamo related, and I'm so excited that I was able to use it for this label. I've been involved with the craft beer community for a very long time. My husband's been brewing professionally for years, so through that I've gotten knowledge within the industry. I agreed to be a part of this project because the Brewers Association is amazing, and I freaked out when I got the email. And I'm just excited to be a part of it.
My name is Ryan Wheaton, from Craft Brew Creative, founder and designer. Currently living in Portland, Oregon. Spent a lot of my time in California. Kind of a collision of two worlds, a collision of art and beer, which is something that I'm passionate about both. I think it's super important to get out and take a look at the actual environment that your customers are going to be in and what they're looking at on the shelf. Thing also is that, like, you know, if you want to make sure you have a really strong brand and you already have packaging out there, is to just kind of take all of your packaging and line it up on a counter or line it up on a shelf. I think it can be really easy to, over time, just create these cool looking designs as one-off items, but don't see how they all fit together as like an entire portfolio or as an entire like brand. I really wanted to go with kind of like a very textured feel to it, just kind of a bit of a vintage look and feel. And I also played off the idea of the San Antonio flag incorporated into the can. On the very top of it, where it's like the red and blue sides. The creative process is always crazy. It's always different. And like all things, I totally procrastinate. So it was one morning, I literally woke up out of bed at like 6 a.m. And, before my alarm clock went off, and I knew I couldn't just like sleep and hit the snooze button. Because I had the ideas for this label. And the creative process, like I said, is crazy like that. You never know what's going to come, when it's going to hit you.
Thank you, everyone. That was such a fun project. I do want to give out a special thanks to the other designers who are participating. So, Alana Louise Lyons, where are you at? Hi, Alana. And then Kevin Kronberger, where are you? Kevin. So they're also going to be sticking around for the happy hour. So please grab them if you have any questions. They're super talented designers, and they're doing really, really rad work in the craft beer space. So. We've got a really great panel up here, all from different backgrounds, lending to this conversation. We've got Brittany Statt, who is the marketing director for the Rohrbach Brewing Company. Brittany comes from the kind of in-house perspective. She works at the brewery. So we've got Matt Naren, who is the partner and account director for Cultivator Advertising and Design. And Matt is kind of coming from the agency perspective. And last but not least, we have Jeff Nowicki, who is the chief strategy officer for Bump Williams Consulting. And he's just going to come in with the kind of technical consulting, retail expertise kind of side of things. So I do kind of want to show some kind of proven case studies of the value of design and how they can really like affect your bottom line. So this is a rebrand for my friend Jordan. He's in Portland, Oregon. This was for a small brewery called Old Town Brewing. With this rebrand, so the old one is on the left and the new one's on the right, overall beer sales have increased by 50%, 5-0. There was other factors. I mean, they moved from 22-ounce bomber bottles to 500-milliliter bottles, which is kind of a trend that I think probably also helped. But merchandise sales have also increased by 70%. And they also had a big increase in community involvement and promotional requests to their brewery. So Dogfish Head was another one that saw a really, really great result from their rebrand. This was done from Interact Boulder. They're an agency in Boulder. But they've seen a consistent 20% year-over-year increase in sales, which I think is kind of almost unheard of for a brewery of that size. And the next one here is for Rohrbach. And Brittany here did this rebrand of this package, so I would love to have her kind of talk about it a little bit and how it went and how the increase in sales have been and all that.
Hi, everybody. So for this rebrand project, just to give you a little bit of a background, Rohrbach has been brewing beer. We're distributed throughout New York State for about 26, 27 years. We first packaged 16-ounce cans just about 7 years ago. So that original design is about 7 years ago. And this rebrand project was just to kind of give it a fresh new look. It's starting to get a little stale. You know, the whole theme of this is the competition's getting tougher, the shelves are getting fuller, and how do you stand out? So the purpose of this project really reflects the goals of the beer itself. Scotch Ale is actually our biggest flagship beer, which is surprising in today's IPA market, but it's definitely our breadwinner. And this rebrand started with the Scotch Ale and went through our entire classic series. So the goal was to kind of remind people that this beer is still like a dependable go-to brew. It's one of our classics, something that's been longstanding. And so this rebrand is kind of just to keep that message, but to also attract a newer audience who might have overlooked the beer before. It's important that we kept it recognizable, but also kept it fresh. We included some other things like the independent seal, which is really important now that we didn't have on there before. Things like the classic series emblem, which you can kind of see there on the side, just to kind of reiterate our flagship series and remind people that it's there. So we saw about 16.5% growth in just off-premise package sales year-to-date with this rebrand. And I think a big part of that was that, it was kind of a forgotten gem, and the whole rebrand just reminded people of what the beer was. And something important about it is we didn't just throw it on the shelf and hope for a spike. We really put a lot of planning and purposeful marketing behind the rebrand. Things like your sell sheets, your table tents, your untapped image and social media, strong photography. We did a truck wrap with the new branding. I, on social media, told people to honk when you see the Scotch Ale can, which the delivery drivers loved that. And we did more tastings with it, which we weren't doing because we were doing all of our new small releases. So all of that marketing and this whole rebrand just kind of said to people that we haven't forgotten our flagships, we haven't forgotten where we've come from, and even though we're putting out all these new fresh beers in Rotation Nation, we're still paying attention and giving care to these beers. So.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, it's good to see like another case study and have somebody here to be able to talk about it. So Matt, I've got a question for you. I'd love to hear from you on the idea, kind of following up on what we've been talking about, of like when to rebrand. Curious to see like what kind of questions or problems that your clients are having when they approach you for design help.
So we've been working in this space for probably about the last 15 years in craft, and people come to us at a lot of different phases. We've had homebrewers show up with a cooler beer saying they're going to open a brewery someday and they want branding help. And 6 years later, Daredevil in Indiana has grown from that position, which is great. In 2004, as part of a packaging overhaul project for New Belgium, we got to redo the logo when we were also revisiting all the packaging system. And that was based on feedback they were getting from the field that the shelf set wasn't working hard enough for them. Others, like Great Divide, came to us when they felt like their designs had been in the marketplace too long and they were looking for something new. Maybe a more cynical thing is often when there's a new marketing director or sales director looking to make a change, that's often when we get phone calls where it's like, hey, we've got new people here, we want to make a difference, we want to do something new. Another opportunity is when people moved into cans like Southern Tier. Quickly, they needed to get their can lineup set up. So I'd say there's a lot of different scenarios, from capital infusions where they can now afford to do branding to marketplace feedback from distributors or retailers. There's a lot of reasons why rebranding becomes a priority.
Well, I guess maybe coming from a design standpoint, those are all super valid. And I think those are, you know, but I'd be curious from a design perspective, have you had people that come to you like for an audit, just been like, how can we rebrand it to like maybe improve? I mean, there's a lot behind that, but do you have any of that kind of?
Yeah, I think it usually comes from another driver though. Like sales are flat, and so we want to make an impact. And so what can we do to make the shelf set work better? Our flagship is getting forgotten, so what can we do to revitalize that? So I think there's a lot of design tools that we can bring to the market and to freshen things up. And I'd say 10 years ago, that frequency was happening once every maybe 7, 8, maybe longer. And now it seems like every 3 years, we're seeing brands want to revisit their designs and refresh it, whether it's subtle or a major overhaul.
Yeah, great. And speaking of kind of shaking things up a little bit, Brittany, so there's an idea that I think a lot of clients have of like make my logo bigger. I'm sure a lot of you creative folks out here will know that one. But it's a really interesting and valid question when it comes to your package branding, because there's situations where you might be branding the beer more versus the brewery, or you know making the brewery logo bigger and branding that more. And we just went through your Rohrbach recent branding. So I'd love to kind of hear your thoughts on how, you know, branding the brewery as the core element of the packaging design or brewing the beer. You know, I think one of the great cases everybody knows is like 805. They ended up making that into its own brand, or like Stone has with Arrogant Bastard. But so I'd love to hear like your thoughts on the branding the brewery versus branding the individual beer.
Yeah, I think that's a totally really important consideration when you're doing your design work. And when you're talking about which one to put foremost, I think the questions you want to ask yourself are, what's the goal of the beer itself, and who is the demographic that you're going after with that specific beer? You know, are you a new brewery that needs to increase brand awareness, or are you like a known brand that's looking to kind of shake things up or do a short release and really grab people's attention? Are you targeting your core demographic that's buying the beer because they trust your brand, or are you trying to reach a new demographic? And what does that demographic look like? How are they buying? You know, having purpose behind all of that is really important. And going back to the Scotch Ale rebrand, the logo is super prominent, and it's definitely bigger than the beer name itself. And that was on purpose. It's a flagship. It's a beer that people have known for a long time, and it's a beer that people are buying because it's Rohrbach. So that's something that was considered. And, you know, it's not just about size. It's placement, too. Something with those flagships, sometimes the Rohrbach beer gets put in the well in a cooler, so you might only see the top half, which can be a challenge when you're designing a full 16-ounce tall can. So because of that, the brand is first, then you pull up and see what the beer is. And not only that, like on the top of the rim, we included a small description of the beer too, so that they still know what the beer is. So thinking about how your beer is going to be put on the shelf, where it's going to be put on the shelf, how high or how low, if you have that data and that information, that's really helpful. And then, you know, on the flip side of things, when we do a small batch release, or we have a Neoteric series, we call it, which is like 2 month, 1 month releases, and they're kind of outside of our brand and kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. So our logo becomes secondary, and then the beer name and the beer style becomes the most important thing to communicate because it's new, and that's what we want to educate the consumers with.
Jeff, I'd love to get a follow-up from you on this, too, just from your experience in consulting and all the years you've been in, you know, the industry, in a good way, I say that. Yeah. yeah, I mean, what do you think when it comes to, like, branding? You know, breweries, it's pretty hot right now to just have all this big, crazy artwork, but I think sometimes it can be, you know, people can get, the brand of the brewery can get lost. In your experience, like, balancing between branding the brewery itself versus branding the individual beer brands, like, what is your experience and follow-up with her?
Well,
obviously, we're challenged. Is this on?
Can you? I think so.
We're challenged with quantifying what you folks do after it goes to the marketplace and trying to determine, does it have an effect? Certainly, a busy can with a lot of stuff on it is confusing. We know that our consumers out there are adventurous. They're looking for a story. You know, they want to really kind of embrace themselves with different brands. And you saw 70%. You know, there are different numbers to quantify the impulse purchases that they have. And so as a sales guy, I always look at, from the sales perspective, does it work for me? You know, I look at it on shelf. And if I've got four packages, does my brewery billboard across that shelf in some form or fashion so that I know when I walk into a store that, you know, it's a brewery that I'm looking for? And that, I think, is an important facet. I think you mentioned when they come to you, sales are flat. You know, if you're going to rebrand and think that sales are going to pick up immediately, you're probably doing yourself a disservice because you have to go back through and say, what are we experiencing? Is it our message that isn't getting across? Is it our styles that aren't resonating? There are a lot of variables in there. But when design comes into play, I think that consumer is really looking for something that, you know, kind of draws them in. And we've seen anywhere from a brewery that was struggling, 5% to 50% growth, depending on the mechanisms that are in play. If there are other issues, you can't solve that through branding. Mm. You know, they have to be solved as well. So I would recommend to anybody, branding and refreshing their packages and everything normally do a nice job. It's not sustainable because it's one of the other things that, all the other things that has to go into it to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot that goes into it. Right. And I think so in that, I think a follow-up question I have for you would be, I mean, how does somebody know what good design is? I think, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when it comes to marketing and branding, breweries can kind of stay in their own little bubble. Their folks around them are kind of cheerleaders, and of course, everything they do are going to be cheered on, like, yeah, that's awesome. So I think sometimes you have to kind of have to get away from your own personal tastes and get real insight and what more of the consumer would desire. So I guess to follow up to what you were just speaking on, I mean, how does somebody know what good design is when it's on the shelf?
Well, first, your numbers will go higher than they were when you had the old design. I mean, that's certainly a, you know, something that you shoot for. But, you know, I think when you look at all the brands, all the brand stories, and what is a good design, I think you have to, you know, you showed iconic brands up there. They weren't built overnight. Yeah. You know, it's either a, you know, an origin iconic brand, it's a symbolic iconic brand, it may be a story that brand is kind of telling what, you know, what the beer's about, what the brewery's about, those types of things. So I think that's a platform for something that you shoot for. 5 years down the road, you want everybody to look at your beer and go, I know that beer just because I know that symbol. That's extremely important. Or I know that beer because I was in Colorado and I drank that beer. So, you know, that brand origin is an extremely important thing. But I also believe that you'll know when you have good design is when people look at it and go in their hand and they pick it up and they look at it. If they're walking by it, you've done yourself no justice. If there's not something that brings them to your brand, and with all those brands in the marketplace, it's really difficult to get that color combination, that logo right, that story on the back so it's readable or legible for them to see. So I think it's that whole experience that you have to be able to go out and really understand that. We do a lot of consumer studies. If you haven't had one done on your branding or you haven't had one done on your storyline or things like that, they're pretty inexpensive. I mean, you can go out and get 1,000, 10,000 people and do a real quick study to see if that resonates. So our job is to support you folks that are design and marketing folks to bring those assessments to you and then let you take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those insights are really valuable to see what actually consumers want. Yeah, definitely. So Brittany, one for you now. So how can a brewery stay on brand while also creating exciting artwork? I mean, I think like in your stuff, I think you did a good job at balancing the branding of the brewery and then also leaving room to have some, you know, nice creative artwork on the can. So it's still creative, it's showing awesome artwork, but then it's also still branded well to the brewery.
Yeah. I mean, I think you made a great point about, you know, being, like, it can be so fleeting. If you do a rebrand, it might not do a whole lot. And having the purpose behind it is super important, and just staying true to your brand and true to who you are and being consistent with your messaging, that's all super important. Something like a design tip that I have is I have all of the different series like templated, so that keeps it like within a nice parameter, and then you can get creative outside of that. So like, you know, our classic flagship series, seasonals, and then the small batch series each has a template that allows me to kind of hone in on that kind of thing. Even something simple as just like keeping a very limited color scheme or just one consistent band or one consistent element that allows you to then have fun outside of it and keep it recognizable. Another big piece of advice I would give is use the same artist, whether it's a freelancer or an agency or it is someone in-house. I think just using the same artist consistently gives it a natural, organic, same consistent feel to it, and that will just really help your brand and kind of just do that more naturally without a lot of effort. So an example of a brewery that I think does this really well is Creature Comforts out of Georgia. You can tell that their packaging is templated. They keep the beer name, the beer style, and the logo in the same spot on every can, but they find ways to make it fun with different patterns and textures and finishes and colors and things like that. So you always know it's them when you see it, but it's always something interesting to look at.
I'd love to hear also from you, like Matt and Jeff, on the same topic of, how can a brewery stay on brand while also releasing exciting new artwork?
Yeah, we're big fans of systems. Similar to what you said, there's definitely a lockup, there's a template for them, but we also try and allow flexibility within it. So, or a system that can extend over time, like with Great Divide, with the cast of characters, those icons, there's infinite possibilities of characters that can be created. So when we designed that system and started as an overhaul with the first 14 of them, we had to think, well, how's the 20th beer or the 50th beer gonna be? And so, We're big fans of designing systems, but also leaving flexibility. And I do think it helps to have a core team work on it consistently over time. And, you know, one of the advantages of an agency is we're used to having multiple people maybe touch a brand. So you can still have brand standards and still have, you know, a quality level that you're going for and be able to have multiple people work on it just to keep things fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important. And I think for any of you that may not know design speak, when he's talking about systems, he's talking about kind of almost like a template or guidelines, essentially. I do really think it's important. You know, for an agency, you mentioned you might have a number of people working on it, or even like there's situations where you might work with an agency that does a rebrand, that does like this really big rebrand, and then hands it off to a designer to kind of maintain that. So creating that strong system of having repeatable elements going from package to package really creates a strong brand, a recognizable brand. Creating those guidelines, leaving room for creativity, like you're saying. I think, you know, a number of breweries are doing that well, where you have a templated kind of branded label, but you allow a room for someone, other designer or somebody, to do creative stuff, or artists, but staying within that kind of branded look and feel. I think that really does set you up for success in that sense, for sure. So Jeff, well, with so many beers being released and so many breweries that are vying for that best shelf positioning, in your experience, how does a brand's packaging design factor into retailers' decisions on how to place it onto a shelf, or even like to say for like a distributor to pick them up? Because I know in a lot of places it can be pretty competitive and to get into a distribution. So yeah, I mean, how do you think design affects how it gets placed, where it gets placed on the shelf, how it's placed, and getting into distribution?
Well, I think there's just a multiple of measures that get a brand on shelf. With a retailer, they're not going to look at your package and go, that's just silly, stupid, great. I can't do, you know, I can't pass that up. Put 10 cases up there. That is not going to happen. You're not going to get that from design. You know, the flow through, and for those of you that are in this room that have never heard this, and I'm sure you have, when you have people sitting in the room and you got sales guys, you got marketing people and graphic design people, and you have all these ideas, we look at, how does this translate? I mean, I look at, can you take that branding, can you move it to t-shirts and table tents and point of sale in the marketplace? Does it tell the same story? And is it a linear kind of a graphic? Because if you build something that's so outrageous on that package that you can't replicate it, you lose your storyline. You can't. You just don't get that flow. But if you've never heard this, you know, it's marketing and design's job to get it off the shelf. It's the distributor and the sales team to get it on the shelf. And if you're not doing your job, all the sales and distribution people in the world can't make that brand move. They can't drink it. So the bottom line is, if you can get it to pull off, if you can get people to pick it up, put it in their hand, or read the story, or it draws them to that spot, you've got a successful design. And I think if you can make that story linear across all your wearables, your table tents, your point of sale, a Yeti on the can that translates into, you know, 50 other packages that they're going to see, I think you've got a home run when you hit that stuff.
Yeah. Brittany, following up on what you just mentioned, you... We talked before, you had mentioned the success of one of the rebrands and like the t-shirt sales, your merchandise sales. And that's a huge thing, as you mentioned, Jeff, about when you design a label or and branding elements, is that thinking of it being applied to many more things besides just a label. So I'd love to hear, I mean, because you're in a brewery, you're doing it day to day, like in one brand. So I'd love to hear, like, how you consider when you're creating a new label or a new brand, like design and all this stuff, like those elements that are going to be repeated and applied to tap handles or merchandise or posters. Like, I'd love to kind of just hear how that's worked for you and how you kind of approach that.
Yeah, so every time we have a new beer release, I have a checklist of things that need to be done more than just the packaging itself. So that stuff includes the keg collar, the sell sheets, product guides, social media, any other touch points with the consumer, point of sale signage, think table tents for off-premise accounts, posters, and then, yeah, if it has potential for retail. So you always have to think big picture, and I typically start with the package design itself, but I am always thinking about how it's going to translate onto other things. Something that we've done that's been very effective is, like, for our small batch releases, we design a custom pint glass based on the can artwork and kind of have some fun with that. And then at the release party, the first 100 people or so in the door get to keep that custom pint glass. So it helps kind of bring people in those earlier hours of the day and kind of get that crowd and get that buzz going and get people excited. And we've had people that like collect these pint glasses now, and they come to every single one hoping to get the glass. And, you know, things like that can really help push it. The example you mentioned was we've rebranded our seasonals as well. So with Patty's Irish Ale, we did a lot of retail for St. Patty's Day, sold a lot of T-shirts leading up to that day, leading up to our party. So all of those creative applications outside of your package design can really help you have some incremental sales as well.
Yeah, I think it's super important that when you're designing anything to think about how we're talking about the systems, you know, being repeatable elements or building blocks or templates, you know, as to put it in a more really kind of lame, generic way. But that you can be able to apply that to many other things. And for anybody who's like, you know, we're talking about working with the same designer, or if you're going to be handing off to somebody else, like if you're setting yourself up for that way, like it just really sets yourself up for success in that, like, you know that every element you come out with, if it's like merchandise or a tap handle, is going to be on brand. You've thought of that ahead of time. Ideally, you can keep working with the same agency or the same designer or the same artist. But if you think about that ahead of time, if you're new to working with designers or in that, really trying to think ahead, just don't think about, oh, does this look cool right now? Like, you know, yeah, I'm sure it does, but okay, well, how's it going to look on a shirt? Like, how are you going to do that? Like, sometimes you create artwork and that just doesn't translate very well. So thinking ahead like that, I think you're just get the most bang for your buck. So you can really get the value from, you know, working with a designer if you think in that way. And hopefully the designer kind of guides you in that way as well. So we're going to be getting some Q&A here, but we do have a couple more talking points. So Matt, when you're working with a designer, so I'm kind of coming from the perspective of, say, like a brewery. What kind of suggestions do you have for someone who is about to hire a designer or an agency to help them with their branding? Like, how should somebody start looking to hire somebody? Like, what should they have, and what they should be prepared for when they hire somebody to help them with design?
So I think working with an agency versus an independent designer, I think there's pros and cons to both of those. I think people tend to come to agencies when they have a bigger list of needs that they have, or they want more variety. So in our case, we have a pretty big team of designers, so we could, especially for a logo assignment or a new brand, we can provide more options more quickly by having three or four different designers interpret the assignment, kind of like you guys did on this CAM project, where it's hard to get one designer, after they fall in love with their design, say, great, that's cool, now do two more. And it's like, but I love that one. Like, I don't want to start over. So having multiple designers internally at our agency, it's sort of a friendly competition where we have multiple people all working on the same assignment to give more variety more quickly for brands. So we tend to get hired when it's going to be not just a one-off project, but it's the beginning of a relationship. And usually some of our clients have longer-term plans where maybe they need point of sale, and they need merch, and they need other things besides just a label. But sometimes it starts with a single logo. And from our experience, getting the brewery logo right sets the foundation for everything else. So the amount of time that we spend on the initial logo assignment sometimes is more than we ever get compensated for, but we want to do it right because it becomes the foundation that every can, every bottle cap, every tap handle, all the merch, like the New Belgium logo is on so many thousands of things, and we spent months refining that to get every part right so that it would reproduce in any medium. So I think working with an agency, it tends to be a little more of a commitment, and usually the clients that come to us maybe don't have all the answers of exactly what they're looking for. I think working with independent designers for brands that know what they need and have really, you know, defined parameters of what they're looking for, maybe that's a more efficient route.
Yeah.
So it's a little more direct. We often do preference studies with clients where we show them lots of brands, usually that we didn't work on, and get their feedback on, like, well, what do you think of this style? Or what do you think of that style? We show them hundreds of them, especially if there's a bigger team, so that there's very little duplication. So if one person on the marketing team really likes a hand-drawn aesthetic and another one likes a tight, modern aesthetic, we can get those issues resolved at the beginning of the project instead of coming back with designs that don't meet that. So that's part of our kickoff process, is figuring out, like you said, what the objective of the assignment is, and then starting to learn the preferences. But then, of course, as objective consultants, we're also bringing our opinion on what we think is going to be effective in the market.
Just out of curiosity on this topic, is there anybody here that works for a brewery, owns a brewery, that would be interesting in learning more about hiring a designer or an agency? By a show of hands? Okay, there's a good few. Okay, so I guess we'll just dig a little bit deeper into that. We've got just a few more minutes before we're going to get into Q&A, but since there was a decent amount of hands, I'd like kind of dig into that a little bit more. I feel like, and maybe Matt, you can kind of bounce off this a little bit. So me personally, coming from like a solo business, kind of a solopreneur, to put it in a really cheesy way, I feel like I get a lot of people coming to me that, you know, they're like, I need a logo. I'm like, okay, great, cool. What's your name? Have you thought about your brand story? And they're like, I don't know, man. Like, I just really want it to look really dope. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, right. So that's how we're gonna do that. So I think, you know, essentially, you can look up probably examples of design briefs. A design brief is kind of like a document template of, here's the idea, here's the project, here's the idea, you know, here's what we're looking to accomplish. So before you approach a designer or an agency to do work with you, like, really think through as much as you can. Really start writing this stuff out. Like, who are you? Why you? Like, why are you the person to do this? And so just really start to flesh out as much as you can. The designer should hopefully take you through a process of learning more. But if you come to them with as much as you can possibly think of beforehand, it's just going to give you a big leap on getting started on your projects, whether it's branding or packaging design or anything like that. So think through it as much as you can. And then also, like, when you talk about hiring a designer or hiring an agency, it's kind of like dating. You really need to think of it as a long-lasting partnership. We already mentioned that, like, ideally you can work with the same person or the same agency, because for that consistency. And then also, when somebody knows your brand, they know your brand well, they've worked with it a while, and it's just going to build a stronger brand. So, you know, consider it like dating. I'm sure we hate, like, when we have to, like, do a bunch of proposals, like, requests for proposals, but that's part of the thing. It's like, we have breweries coming to us, and they're like, yeah, we need a whole new brand, or we need a rebrand, and it's like, great. And for us as designers, or for agencies that work with clients, work with breweries, it's a relationship. And if we don't get a good feeling from it and we don't click, that's not going to be beneficial to you as a brewery owner, as somebody who's doing marketing for a brewery, because eventually it's just going to go sour. I mean, if you think of it like a relationship. So I think it's super important that when you're out there looking for a designer, that you really click, really get a good feeling, make sure their portfolio is strong and it represents what you think you would want as your brand and that kind of thing. Do you want to add a couple more comments to that before we get into the Q&A?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a relationship, and I think it's hard to figure that out in the beginning. But that's why most of the work that gets referred through agencies or through designers is through people you know and people that you meet. And, you know, if you've done a good job for one brand, you know, the chances of you getting to continue to work for that one and work on other ones in the future is key. So I just think it becomes reputation and it becomes longevity. And it is, despite the fact that there's 6,000 breweries, it is still a small community. And people ask around of what's it like to work with this firm or what's it like to work with this designer. And it's still a pretty tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So
I have one thing,
Jeff,
to add,
please.
Ryan. You know, we're a consultant too, which is very similar to what you're doing. And if the conversation starts off in about 10 minutes, what's the cost? You're probably going down the wrong trail, because it's not about the input, it's about the output there. And so that is one thing that we look at, and we always say, you know what, we don't consult everybody. There are people that just aren't ready for that, or they really don't conceptually know what they want to do.
I will say that you folks have a very, very interesting opportunity, and that is most of you have tap rooms. And in the big brand world, coming from Corona and Coors and many brands, iconic brands that I've worked with and been part of over the years, we always did study groups where we would bring people into a room and pay big money for them to sit around and talk about whether they liked this or what was that or resonated with them or whatever, when you can actually have branding parties right in your tap room and bring people in that you know and invite them in and get a big crowd in there and put your graphics up there and say, hey, what do you like? While you're sitting there taking notes and going, okay, what do you like about that? The color, the can, the iconic piece of it. It's really fun to do, and you gain a lot of knowledge out of it. And before we go to Q&A, I would be remiss if I didn't say one thing. I'm a San Antonian. We welcome you all there next year. I don't remember what the date was, 19th through the 23rd, you know, whatever that was. But we are all looking forward to having you all come down there full of wallets, thirsty, and ready to party in San Antonio next year.
All right. Cheers. Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks for checking out Branding Brews. My name is Ryan, your host, and also the owner of Craft Brew Creative. With over 15 years of experience in branding and design, I am able to bring my knowledge not only to this show, but to great clients that make great beer. From the essentials like websites, labels, tap handles and sales sheets, to merchandise and vehicle wraps, Craft Brew Creative would love to help develop a cohesive and strong brand for your brewery. Craft Brew Creative thrives on delivering value through a collaborative, fun, and interactive design process. Whether you're an existing brewery or a brewery in planning, Craft Brew Creative will be a valuable partner to your team. If you're in need of any design or marketing services, I would love to get in touch. Head on over to craftbrewcreative.com for more information, or just feel free to email me, Ryan@craftbrewcreative.com.